Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Tommy, let's say you're a single man.
Yeah.
And you see a beautiful woman.
Oh, a sweet thing.
So
sweet thing. Damn, sweet thing.
She's so striking. You have to let her know.
Oh, yeah.
How do you do it?
You got to compliment that clipper.
According to this letter we have in front of us,
there was a time, a clipper time.
In this great country where you could simply announce to that woman how you felt.
Yeah.
And what you saw. But one story we talked about has a man who wrote us a letter scratching his head.
All right.
Because if this isn't okay, then what the hell are you supposed to do? You hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock 96.5 WCMF. It's Wednesday, it's 8 o'clock. It's time for Hate Mail of the Week. And about 2 weeks ago, we shared with you a story from Gary Craig in the Democrat and Chronicle. A juror in a drug case was kicked off a jury after a tweet of his caught the attention of the judge and public defenders and things of that nature. And the juror, in the middle of the trial, tweeted, and I quote,
what did he say?
I don't know how much I'm allowed to tweet about the trial I'm sitting on, but at risk of a mistrial, the assistant DA prosecutor is smoking hot.
Damn.
That was a real tweet.
All right.
He had to tweet about the prosecutor.
We saw it ourselves.
Yes, we did. The tweet ended up in a Rochester Reddit thread, which then caught the attention of folks at the public defender's office. They brought that to the judge, and the judge dismissed the juror from the case.
Mm.
And when we had this discussion initially,
we
debated whether having a hot assistant district attorney would be enough to sway you to their case.
Yeah.
And we wondered if people who didn't want to be on a jury would simply pull this move to go home, and if now this has to like have punishment behind it to keep people from getting out of jury duty.
Yeah.
But a man who heard our initial discussion.
What's he thinking?
Well, he had an issue with something else.
What's the problem?
In that tweet that we just read you?
Yeah.
He didn't hear anything disrespectful.
Oh.
He heard a man doing what men are supposed to do when they see a beautiful woman. Actual physical letters sent through the mail telling us we suck. And again, this is a man who wrote us a letter, but the role of this man will be played by our own Kimmy.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Sit back and enjoy today's Hate Mail of the Week.
There was a story that your morning show talked about with a man who was kicked off a jury for saying that one of the lawyers was good looking. Please get this letter to them. I want to know what they think this man did wrong. If you think a woman is beautiful, you should be able to tell them. I'm having a hard time understanding why that would be a problem. And I don't think I'm some angry man that wants to go around hitting on every woman. I understand that times change. But if you can't do something like tell a woman she is good looking to her face or share that information with someone else she knows, what's the appropriate way to handle it now? Do you just have to keep it quiet and pray she picks up on your signals? Is there some secret code that men and women are using where it isn't said out loud, but everyone knows? I guess I'm having a hard time seeing where a woman could be offended or other people, her husband or boyfriend notwithstanding, would call foul for sharing how gorgeous you think she is. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to some sort of response. Sincerely, John.
All right, I want to give John credit right off the bat.
Okay, what's up?
He is not coming at us angry?
No.
Maybe a little in the beginning. He does seem to have a problem with the whole dismissing of the juror.
Okay.
But it looks like he wants to change.
Well, not much.
Or work within a system.
Just doesn't understand.
Right.
He simply wants to know what today's environment.
Right. What should I do?
Exactly.
Well, what am I missing is what he's asking.
Yes. How do I let a woman know she's attractive without being disrespectful? Mm-hmm. Which is funny. Because, Tommy, when we did this story initially, all of the coverage it got across the news stations, I didn't hear one person bring up the fact that the tweet might be inappropriate. Did you hear that?
I did not.
Okay. Was it inappropriate? Calling the ADA smoking hot?
Smoking hot. Man, she's smoking.
Is that inappropriate?
In this environment, yes.
It's a little bit embarrassing to tweet about it or put it out there, I guess, in writing.
Well, a highly educated woman doing her job trying to prove these folks committed a crime?
I'm saying it's embarrassing for you, yeah, as a person who probably should have known that you can't do that.
All right, whether or not that's disrespectful, right? The question John asked in this letter is valid.
What's that?
How do you let a woman know she's beautiful?
That she's fine.
I mean, not your wife, not your girlfriend. Mm. You as a single man. Sharing with a woman you do not know that you think she is mighty fine.
She's a lovely stranger.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. I want you to be quiet for a second.
Don't call her a lovely stranger. That's all the cops.
Isn't that when you sit on your hand and then look the other way? Kimmy.
Yeah.
I want to start with you.
Yeah.
If I, as a single man, were to approach a woman in a bar.
Yeah.
And look at her and go, I'm sorry to be so forward. But I saw you standing here, and I have to tell you, you are one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. Is that inappropriate?
I don't know any women that would be offended by that. I think where the line gets crossed is there's an expectation of something in return.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I'm telling her she's beautiful, and she didn't respond, or she didn't talk to me. You know what I mean? Like, there's an expectation of... I'm not just telling her she's beautiful because I want to tell her she's beautiful. I'm telling her she's beautiful because I want something out of this.
Okay, well, yeah, that's why you would say something.
You want some of that
right,
sweet thing.
Right, but I think that's where guys tend to push the limits and it gets a little bit uncomfortable or inappropriate.
Okay, all right.
Because
so,
I don't think just simply telling somebody that you think that they're good looking or beautiful is an offensive thing. I just think it's the follow-up, I guess, that gets a little bit weird.
Cut me off a piece of that cake.
All right, Kimmy, let's do an exercise here.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, I'm single me, you're single you're at a bar, okay?
Yeah.
And again, this is a lot of acting on my part, so please.
Yeah.
I approach you, and excuse me, I don't know who you are, but I saw you from across the room, and I can't leave here without telling you that you're the most gorgeous one I've ever seen.
Oh, put your glasses on.
Yeah.
Is that creepy?
I don't think so. Again, it's the fault. Like, if you...
Well, I'm married, all right? Calm down.
I don't think it's creepy up front. It's what you do after that.
So
that's
going
to determine whether or not, like, if you linger a little too long when she's clearly not wanting to continue this conversation.
Right. Yeah,
but
what
just
do you say
the simple fact
you?
Of saying it, and I say, like, thank you, and then I kind of turn
away.
Oh, don't
do it with the singing song voice, so that's insulting.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
But that's
thank
letting you know, you. I appreciate it. Now time to move on.
All right. 252-WCMF, 252-9263. We'll take calls from you guys. We will. But I do want to hear from you ladies.
Mm.
How would you take it if a man called you beautiful right out of the gate?
Mm.
Tommy, how would you as a man, a single man, let a woman know that you did not have any familiarity with that you thought she was beautiful?
How I would address that?
Yes.
I would just say it straight up.
So you would look at a woman you didn't know and go, go ahead.
I would say, my God, you're stunning. I mean, there's few people in the world that are stunning. You're one of them.
Wow.
Wait, that was impressive. He didn't even say the sweet voice.
You're almost like artwork.
Okay, now you sound like you're
like
fine.
You should be roped off and observed.
Okay, let's not bring rope into the woman you just met. I'd like to rope you off.
Put a light on you.
See, this is when things are getting a little weird.
Put the lotion on your skin.
You could have stuck with. I think you're stunning.
No, I think you're stunning. I rarely do I see someone of your caliber in this establishment.
Okay. Now you sound like the building inspector. There's 251 people here. Five more than should be.
What year were you made?
What year were you made?
Can I say she has a lovely figure? Not nothing pervy.
That is pervy.
Yeah.
Lovely figure.
Because you're getting into body talk. I would avoid that.
What if I said she was, here's the term for my father's generation. Madam.
Madam?
You are...
I don't even want to hear anything past madam.
You're very buxom.
Buxom? What is buxom?
It's more of a Marilyn Monroe figure.
Okay.
It's very full, a full-figured woman.
They didn't really call women buxom.
Oh, yeah. That was a polite term.
Buxom?
That's how you would describe a woman, the same way you would call someone petite. She was a buxom blonde, which is how you would describe Marilyn Monroe or that generation of curvy women.
Okay. All right, so... Referencing her body, Kimmy, you said would be a no-go.
I wouldn't lead with that.
Okay. What about sexy? Is sexy a word you should avoid? Because it's still a compliment. I find you are the sexiest woman I've ever seen. Not you.
I think it's still generic enough where you're not getting too creepy with it.
Yeah, but you're kind of saying I want to have Sexy means I want to have sex with you.
I mean, that is the definition of sexy.
I think you're better off with words like beautiful or stunning.
What if I said sexy thing?
Okay, yeah, of course not. No.
With a twang, with a thing.
Shut up.
I'm getting twangy in my britches, you sexy thing.
Twangy in my britches is my favorite Ribs Arkansas
twangy
song.
Twangy in my britches. I might get some stitches, but it's worth it.
Okay.
When she hit me with that cocktail glass, I still couldn't stop staring at that ass.
Yeah, we're done. Go home.
I went down bleeding.
Go home. I went down bleeding is my favorite Ribs Arkansas song is about Tommy's mom.
Ew.
You know, the follow-up song is It's Gonna Have to Be My Mouth Tonight.
Too far.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Hate mail of the week coming off of this story 2 weeks ago. A juror that was kicked off of a drug case after he tweeted out that he thought the ADA was smoking hot. Guy named John writes us a letter, and he wasn't mad.
No.
He was just wondering why that was disrespectful. And we didn't think it was disrespectful. At least we didn't bring it up until just now. So we're trying to figure out, how can you tell a woman as a single man that you have never met before that you believe she is attractive? Kimmy, your argument, I guess, is stick with traditional words.
Yes.
Beautiful.
No body talk.
Okay. No body talk. And
no clipper, no stems.
And don't linger too long if she's not into it.
Yeah, like I think you're going to be able to tell whether or not she wants to carry on that conversation pretty easily. Because if she just says thank you and kind of goes back to what she was doing before, that's a, hey, please get out of here.
What if you say, hold on, you don't even know what I was going to say. You're shaking your head.
I know. I don't know what it is, but I know it's going to be terrible.
What if I say she looks like a beautiful celebrity? Like, oh my God, you look.
I would be careful doing the comparison thing because you don't know how that person feels about that celebrity.
No, but let's say she's just a standard.
Give me one.
Jennifer Aniston.
Every time.
Well, she's one of your top chicks.
No, she was one of your top chicks.
What do you mean?
Well, she's not a massive celebrity anymore.
All right, so who's the new hottie?
Kimmy, go.
Oh, I mean,
Taylor
nobody
Swift.
That you're going to know.
Who's that that short, cute little number?
Nope.
I know who you're talking about. No, do you want to say it out loud?
The girl
Sabrina
with the coffee.
Carpenter is who you're thinking of.
With the coffee song.
But please do not
she
call
does
her
that,
the girl with the cute little number with the coffee song,
you remind me of that girl with that song called Nespresso.
Espresso.
No, Nespresso with the little cup. No, I can't. Let's say I said
hey,
you're
a cute little number.
You remind me of.
Can I put you in my pocket?
No, abduction here.
She's 5 feet tall, bro. Yeah.
I know. That's why I said she's a cute little thing. But she is cute.
I really like her music, and I'm ashamed of that. But
you turn me on to her.
She creeps me out, man. She's so little. It's creepy. And I mean that in a non-mean way. She's just so tiny.
Oh.
It makes me uncomfortable.
How about the gymnast from LSU?
Also, okay.
So you have a type.
Yeah, seriously. What's the blonde gymnast name from LSU?
Livy Dunn.
God.
Wow, you even know her nickname.
God, you got. Call the police right now.
She's an adult.
I know,
woman.
I understand, but you got rope involved. Everyone's under 5 feet.
Rope involved.
I'm very bothered by what's happening here.
All right. I can't say you look like a celebrity that's attractive.
Based on how all of this just went, I would say no.
No Jennifer Aniston.
Nope.
No Livy Dunn. No Coffee Girl.
They even call her Livy. It's Olivia Dunn.
She goes by Livy.
I think the key here.
What's that?
Is to just be prepared to say it and walk away.
Okay.
Because I think that there are guys that they have like an expectation of getting some sort of response, and when you don't, because I'm just thinking, the one time I saw this happen in front of my face, a guy went up to a friend of mine and said something along the lines of like, you know, I think you're beautiful, or I noticed you from across the room, and she said, thank you, clearly not interested, and his follow-up question was, well, what would you rate me, or what do you think of,
no!
he wanted to know.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, it was almost like, well, now what are you going to say about me to compliment me? It was so weird.
That's
so awkward, and nobody around knew what to do.
Oh, no.
I think she said, like, I like your jacket or something. It was really not great.
You know, going back to the letter, John does ask a pretty decent question.
Right.
Quote, if you can't do something like tell a woman she's good looking to her face or share that information with someone else she knows, what is the appropriate way to handle it now? Are there unspoken things you can do to really let a woman know that you think she's good looking?
But I'm not saying it.
I don't want to say
it. It would be something physical.
No,
I don't mean like touching.
I understand, but when you say it, that's where everyone goes. Because you got Livy Dunn posters in your bedroom next.
Well, I mean, how could you do that without saying something, that being creepy?
Eye contact?
But that's got to be creepy. I'm looking you up and down.
Well, but no, I didn't say looking you up and down. I just said simply like making eye contact with somebody across the room. If her eyes linger a little while, it might mean maybe she wants you to come say something. But if she's looking away immediately, like, oh my God.
What if she's looking at me? She's also in her purse trying to find her phone.
Or mace.
No, I think you got it. I think looking, it makes you creepier.
So trying to make eye, well, no, I mean, there's a difference between looking a woman up and down and trying to make eye contact. Yeah.
But then you're staring at her.
What are you talking about?
Yes, I mean a bug-eyed little midget like me over there.
Well, it does always look like you're staring at people.
Well, I can't help it. I got the thyroid.
I got the thyroid. I mean, he also says, you know, in this letter, John, share the information, you know, thinking that she's beautiful with someone else she knows. That is the safer way to do it.
Yes. Also a good point.
Going up to
a friend.
Going up to a friend and saying, I think your friend's beautiful. I mean, you avoid direct rejection and being a potentially massive creep to your face. But it is very middle school.
It is.
I think your friend's pretty. You think she likes me too? Yeah. Circle yes or no.
Yeah, but if it makes it easier on everybody, maybe it's the best option.
But also makes you kind of a wuss that you don't go up to her face to face.
I agree with you. I would think women would respect me more for at least
just
like
standing in my ground.
Yeah.
Just going up.
The stand your ground, your beautiful laws.
Yes.
You know, the funniest thing about this.
What?
As complicated as this concept might be. I need you here, Kibby. It's the exact opposite when the shoe is on the other foot.
With dudes?
Yeah. No man would ever be bothered by any woman coming up to him and giving him any compliment on a way.
They would give you money.
Like, Kimmy, have you ever walked up to a man you didn't know and say, I think you are very good looking?
I don't think so, no.
Right.
I honestly, like,
I need to.
I've never even witnessed a situation play out in front of me where, like, a woman was that direct immediately. Like,
I would think I'm getting played or robbed.
Well,
like,
you,
if they're
going to
lure me outside, I'm going to get clubbed.
Well, yeah, look at you. But, like, Kimmy, you have obviously been in rooms with men that you were attracted to.
Sure.
You were taken by them immediately just how they look.
Yeah.
I mean, not your husband, because he was around since middle school, although you married him 20 years later.
I know that guy.
Okay. He'll do. He's left over. Fine. Why, knowing how well that would work, did you never approach a guy and go,
I don't know if you really think it's going to work. Or you're afraid of embarrassing yourself. You don't know if they have a... I think women... When women do approach men, their first question is usually, like, are you married or do you have a girlfriend? Like, there's a question involved before they get into that.
Okay.
They don't need any lines. You know what I mean? They can just literally walk up and have a conversation.
Yeah.
We don't have to...
Yeah, I don't...
Damn, meat pipe! Looking good!
Meat pipe!
Yeah,
yeah, you're right.
It, you know,
it's just it's just a conversation.
You can actually be an adult, if, you know, and
it's never,
get the job done.
Yeah, they're never that forward.
I just find it so strange.
What's that?
Like, you know, you have the ability to literally expedite this process.
Because
you could say, hey,
yeah,
I think you're... Do you have a girlfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a wife? No, I think you're handsome.
Yeah.
Deal is done.
Oh, yeah.
The deal is done. But... No, I'm going to play coy. I'm going to let you do it. I want you to do it.
Yeah, why not? Because let them do all the work, because we're idiots.
Okay.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake. To find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Bomani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a weird discussion.
What happened?
Well, because as sad as it can be, divorce can also be important.
Oh, yeah.
And there are two arguments being made here.
Mm-hmm.
One, divorce should be as easy as possible to make the process less painful.
Yes.
Two, divorce shouldn't be easy because the easier it is, the more likely people are to just give up on their marriages. And that argument has some people fighting hard and other folks fighting against this change that is coming to New York State. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF, New York is making divorce easier.
Okay.
They are rolling out what they're calling the Uncontested Joint Divorce Program. And for those who don't know, up until now, if you wanted a divorce in New York State, one of the parties had to file for
mm-hmm.
it, right? They had to come up with a legal reason. It took a bunch of time. There was a ton of paperwork,
yeah.
And it made things very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the most efficient process.
Right.
You know from personal experience.
Yeah, I've done it in a couple of states.
With this now, couples can petition the court together. They would ask for a joint divorce on the grounds of irretrievable breakdown of a relationship, also known as no-fault divorce.
Okay.
The state believes Not only will this make a divorce easier and less expensive for couples who decide together they don't want to do it anymore,
right.
It also gives couples a chance for a cleaner break, not having to fight it out in court,
right.
A judge deciding with lawyers what happens where.
You're taking all the stress out of
okay,
it.
Yes.
And it's already stressful just to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. With this idea that is being rolled out, do either of you have a problem with no-fault divorce in New York State?
Me? No, not at all. It should have been like this to begin with.
By the way, if I'm you in the situation you're in right now, I'd be trying to make divorce as hard as
it's
possible.
It's my fault.
Kimmy, do you have a problem with this?
I think somebody's going to get screwed either. I mean, it's never going to be a clean break.
In this way, it allows the couple together to decide how this all works out.
But that's, I guess, if you agree.
It puts the power back to the couple.
To the couple.
If yes. Sure. If that's what you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there are some folks that do have a problem with this.
Of course.
Their issue.
The sanctity of the marriage.
Well, I guess you could argue that.
The fabric of American family.
They got it. Something's wrong with their throat. No, they're nominated people. Maybe that's why you got divorced in the first place. They argue, folks against this no-fault divorce in New York State, that divorce should be hard and expensive because it's the most important decision you'll make in your life. And they argue if divorce is not hard, it will lead to rash decisions from people who would be able to work it out, and then it'll break up families, increase the poverty rate for kids, and cause all kind of single mother issues.
But so that statement right there tells me you don't have much faith in marriage to begin with.
Ooh.
I'm just looking for a bargain and I'm out.
Curveball.
So what kind of marriage did you have? You know, I was thinking about staying together, but man, they're really giving these things away right now.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, basically, that's what you're saying.
Now, look, I agree with you that the no-fault divorce is probably a great thing to have here in New York State. But, from these people's point of view, there are couples who filed for divorce, and in the process of filing for divorce, because it was so hard, and because the price was so...
Because it took time, and it kind of forced you to take a look at things, I guess.
They decided that maybe we should get back together, and it worked out for them.
Under the cheaper to keeper.
Well, no. I mean, there are people that legitimately are glad they didn't pull the trick.
Yeah, like maybe they spent some time apart only to realize
I think it
worked better together.
But hey, just because you can get divorced and get back together. Nobody's saying you can't.
That's okay.
So what's the difference?
Okay, well,
that happens.
I guess the difference... okay, you're right. You're right. No, look.
You can go remarry the same person. I wouldn't do it. My sister did it.
She had one in between, though, right?
She had many in between.
Oh.
The darker side of that argument, of course, is people that really need a divorce, not being able to get one, and just sticking it
out. Stuck in a miserable marriage. That's not healthy for your kids.
Miserable marriage is the best case scenario. I mean, there are dangerous situations people get stuck in. All right. So here's the thing. Mm. And the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. This is a very weird conversation to have.
Yeah.
Because no one wants divorce. I mean, ideally.
No, that's how you don't start out that way.
Exactly, right? But this does sound like something that benefits everyone.
Yes.
Because if you have two people that don't want to be together, and they know it, why prolong the process?
Let them go.
I guess my question would be, though, how many couples could have that many things aligned and agree on it all where this would work?
I mean, you're the only one that's been through divorce.
You know what I mean?
Because
like, there are going to be probably a few issues that you're going to have to work out.
Well, then they can go get a lawyer. I mean,
you've already wrote it. Yeah, go get a lawyer, bitch.
But then doesn't that defeat the purpose?
No, only for a certain section of people. But if people just want to make a clean break,
right? Okay,
and I don't want to go through.
Well, that's my question, I guess. How many people are on the same page where it would be that easy? It's great if it's available to them to do that. I wonder how many people would work for.
So, most lawyers will tell you when you go into a divorce, and you sit down with them. They'll say, if you're just here to argue over pots and pans, you don't need me.
Okay.
You're done. Just make a clean break. Yes, if you've got assets and this and that, this isn't for these people. But just common people, working class people that just want a clean break, it's for them. Yeah, rich people are going to lawyer up and grab the cash and all the diamonds and everything else that's laying around.
The cash and the diamonds.
Right, yeah.
Oh, they're robber barons. I take the railroads, I say.
The gold bricks. But like... schmuck couple.
Are gold bars like gold bricks? I'm confused.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Gold They're brick. In brick form.
You build a house out of gold bricks, you idiot. Man, that mason over there is jacked. Probably from lifting all those gold bricks that he's working with. Stupid.
They kind of look like bricks.
They're bars. Know. They've always been bars.
A bar is a brick. A brick's a bar.
252 WCMF. New York State is rolling out no-fault divorce. Long story short, if a couple that wants a divorce decides that they are amicably going to go, right? They can do it. It's going to save time. It's going to save a bunch of money. That's the argument. But there are folks that are arguing divorce should be hard. Divorce should be expensive because people shouldn't run into it and ruin marriages that would be okay. Kids losing money, you know, it becomes a problem for single mothers a lot of the time. I do wonder, with this now being an option, because, Tommy, you know, you haven't gone through this. How many people would have been able to amicably split and would have had a better relationship with each other afterwards if it weren't for the court cases and the lawyers and things like
when
that?
Yeah, I think
I think, I'm asking.
I think the court system turns the heat up. It doesn't turn it down.
And don't even get me started about the water department.
I'm telling you, man.
These clubs and all, but I want to buy the clubs.
Because now you got to go into their system and debate your love or not.
Man!
You know, but yeah, if you're this couple that's fighting over custody of the goddamn dog, you know, yeah. You're going to need a lawyer because you're being dicks about it.
All right, 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Let's talk to Chris. Hey, Chris, how are you, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. What do you got?
Listen, Tommy, you're absolutely right. Once you get those lawyers involved, it all goes to hell. During my divorce, we had two small kids to make things even more complicated. And she just kind of did a preemptive strike, went and got a lawyer. She got in his office. He told her all these things that she could get and so on and so forth. Left me kind of high and dry. I was at a major disadvantage. And I ended up paying for it.
You know what he got? She got the gold mine. He got the shag.
No, she got the gold bricks.
Hey, but he still got the shag.
All right, Chris,
it wasn't golden. It was brown when they were done with it.
Stop. Chris, can I ask
That's
you
what
some,
he said.
Chris, can I ask you some personal questions if you don't mind me asking?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you said she did a preemptive strike. Now, did you have a feeling there were problems in your marriage before she went and got a lawyer?
Yes, just before she went to get the lawyer, yes. But, you know, I mean, it happened quickly.
Okay, and I've heard from people it does. It just happens all of a sudden.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
So, Chris, I'll ask you this question. Let's say that no-fault divorce existed when you got your divorce, and your wife at the time came to you and said, I don't want to do this anymore. I would like out of this marriage. Do you think at that point, the man that you were, with the kids being there too, you would have been able to say, all right, we can end this and we'll do a clean break?
Yeah. I mean, if there was no frills divorce back then, oh my God.
Okay.
That would have been sweet. But here's the thing. Those people that are railing against it, those are holier than thou. I don't want to get political here, but holier than thou conservative people. You know?
Okay. You mean more religious people that do it on religious grounds, saying you should stay together.
Okay. All right. Chris, thanks for the call. Now, the reason I asked that of Chris
What's that?
Is because we found a pretty surprising number the other day. Nationwide, 7 in 10 marriages seven in 10 divorces are filed by the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Chris said, too, it happened so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
For these guys that have been divorced before, these women that have been divorced before that say, you know, the court system made it rough. Can you honestly say that person who came to you in the moment and said, I don't want to do this anymore, would you have had it in you to say, okay, I agree with you?
Yeah,
or would you have wanted to fight for it?
I think you're looking at it from a standpoint of the emotions aren't involved. We're just thinking logically. So to your point, would I be angry? Would I be so distraught and upset that I'm going to have to take some time to think about this first? Like, I don't know how emotions are going to play into that. That may not be so much like, let's just end it here and be done.
And to be clear, that doesn't mean this shouldn't be available. I think
it should
be available.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's easier with hindsight after knowing what you went through to be like, oh yeah, I would have been fine with it. Whereas in that emotional moment.
But I just think when you have to go through a system like that, it causes you to draw a line in the sand.
Okay.
Like they almost force you to.
Sure.
What do you want? What are we doing here? You know? And
no, I get it.
You're going to have to do that with a stranger. You know what I mean? And It kind of forces you into a fight almost.
I understand. I
where this takes it all out. And by the way, it's just a choice, man. You could go get a lawyer and fight it out, man.
Well, to your point, Bones writes us on Instagram.
Always go with the Bones Law Firm.
By the way, you know Bones knows what he's talking about because it looks like he's wearing a dinosaur costume in his avatar on Instagram. Writes, Tommy has it right for once. Everyone should be able to make their own decisions regarding their relationships with as little government interference as possible.
Man!
I added the man. He didn't say man. You know, but like going back to the weird conversation this is, remember late last year when the state of New York legalized adultery?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So for those who don't know, for over a century, cheating on your spouse was an arrestable offense in New York State, and nobody really knew about it because
They never got enforced.
Exactly, except like 15 years ago when a woman was charged with adultery in Canandaigua after she was caught, according to police, having sex with a man on a public park picnic table. Mm. And it's a really stupid law that should have been overturned, yeah, right?
It's ancient.
But someone had to fight
yeah.
to make it legal to cheat on your spouse,
yes.
right? Like, how'd you like
to argue for it?
How'd you like to be that politician getting home from work that day? How'd it go, honey? Well, almost done making it easier to bang someone other than you. I mean, it's kind of the same argument. Like, yeah. you're in, you know, the state legislature arguing
yeah.
to make it easier to leave your partner.
To sneak around.
Exactly.
It was under the Messon law.
We got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get it. Get us on WCMF or the Breakroom Facebook page. Linda writes us about no-fault divorce being rolled out in New York. What about the people that will get married that shouldn't just because they know they can get an easy divorce? New York will be like Vegas, cheap weddings that mean nothing.
So what? Who cares? None of your goddamn business, Linda.
Yeah, get her.
I love people that like, what if this happens? None of your goddamn business.
I mean, we are in everybody else's business way right. too much right now. Mm. Like way too much.
Right yeah.
now. What? You're not hurting anybody. Mm. Makes you happy.
Yeah.
Who cares?
The wedding industry is going to love it.
Well, I mean, I don't think people getting a quick wedding or like getting in the wedding.
You never know. You never okay. know.
Hey, let's get married tomorrow. Here's a 300-person wedding, 5-course dinner. Let's take one more call, 252-WCMF. No-fault divorce being rolled out in New York State, and some people don't like it. They think that divorce should be complicated to make sure that people are aware.
Make it a better commitment to that ass. Bang that ass.
Skyler's got the last word on CMF. Hey, Skyler, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. Let me just start out by telling you, you can take a coffee break. I'll take your line for you. I'm Skyler. I'm so great.
Well, no, but, you have to tell us why yeah, you're so great
you need
first.
Material first.
Yeah, come on, Skyler.
That's kind of how it
you
works.
You screwed up the punchline.
So I've been separated from my wife for over 9 years. We never got a divorce because it's just such a hassle. So luckily, we're still friends. We share everything. You know, if she needs something, I'll get it for her. But we never went to court. She never, you know, tried to get child support.
I'm scattered. I'm so great. She needs some. I go and get it. We're still friends. We're the greatest couple. Even though it didn't work out for some reason, I'm Skyler.
But it kept me from having any other chick think that she's going to marry me. But
I'm Skyler. No woman's good enough for me.
Hey, Skyler, real quick, before you go on, I don't mean to cut you off. Mm. Is it complicated to explain that to women you just meet that you're into?
I'm not wearing a ring or nothing.
No, but you're not divorced.
I mean, you're going to have to eventually have that conversation with a woman.
You're basically lazy. Yeah.
Yeah, well, honestly, the girl that I took to Tommy's thing there, she left me because she wants to someday get married. And okay. I'm like, I don't ever want to get married again.
All right. I mean, I get where you're coming from, man. And if it works for you, God bless. Like, that's awesome. It's really great to have that relationship.
I mean, it's a great trap door to have in your pocket if you want to get out of dating some chick.
Okay, but I mean, I'm sorry, go ahead.
If this thing comes through and her and I, because we've tried to go do it, but they want to charge it for this and that. It's like, we both just want a divorce. Why can't we just sit down and write it? She don't want nothing from me. I don't want nothing from her. That'd be great.
All right, well, Skyler, hey, do you have any minors left? Like, your kids, are there any under 18?
Yeah, 17, 14.
Oh, you're almost there. Okay, so Skyler, listen, it says it's being rolled out across New York State, so maybe it's worth a Google or a phone call.
Go, baby.
Yeah, well, I'll invite you to the party when it happens, brother.
Do it, buddy.
Skyler, have a good day, buddy. Thanks for the call.
Thanks,
man. Man, I couldn't. I'm going to stay married for the rest of my life?
Yeah, and then you would have to bring that up if you get into
I think that there are a lot of people in that situation. It's no, but just I don't become wanna, their norm.
But it is a deal breaker if you meet somebody new.
Sure.
And you got to bring that up.
Yeah, I think that there are also a lot of people think I'm never going to get married again.
Well, that was that guy.
Yeah. And then,
that guy right there.
But you always have to. And you just never know.
But I don't know how that's going to go. Like, let's say you meet a chick, you want to get semi-serious.
Yeah.
You got to tell her.
Well, I'm sure.
Do you soften it with something else first?
Well, how would you do that?
Listen, I have chlamydia. Also, I'm kind of still married.
You'd have to go get chlamydia.
Well, I just say a guy.
Seems more complicated yeah. than you just admit, yeah, you're yeah. still married.
Yeah.
Do you know anyone that has chlamydia before we have a talk? I have something to tell you. But first, I need chlamydia. Maybe that chick next to the gold bricks has.
Yeah, there you go.
Stupid. Kimmy, were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
Nope, can't follow that up.
Let's take a break. A chlamydia break.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
We are super late. We got a quick one here before we get to how Kimmy is going to change a game so a man who's successful can't win it.
Okay, all right.
I'm not changing it.
You're hanging out in the break room, CMF. How this kid in this position, and I say kid, he's not a kid, he's 34, could screw up so bad with everything he has in his fingertips.
He's been pretty quiet up until this point.
I don't know, because we talked about him. No, he hasn't been quiet.
Well, in terms of, like, getting in trouble.
Well, it all depends on how you define trouble.
Right.
Marcus Jordan. He is Michael Jordan's son.
Mm-hmm.
He is 34 years old. He has a job, a high-level job, working for his dad in the Jordan sneaker company.
Way to go.
The brand company. And look, yes, it's nepotism, but
nailing
it's
it.
Pretty sweet deal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're taking that gig.
So we first brought up Marcus Jordan on this show, what, like 2 years ago, when it was discovered he was dating Larsa Pippen, Scottie Pippen's ex-wife, Scottie Pippen being the former teammate of Michael Jordan.
Yes.
He was dating his dad's former teammate's ex-wife.
Yeah.
And Scottie Pippen, big problem with this. Big problem.
But it was also on television.
Oh, yes. He was part of a reality show.
My wife watched it. It was The Real Housewives of Miami.
Okay.
Yep.
And he was in it a lot, I guess.
Yeah.
And the plan was, apparently at one point they were engaged.
They talked about being engaged on the show. I don't know if they were actually. It was never confirmed that they were engaged.
There's kind of like Skylar thing, you know?
Yeah,
make a full commitment.
I think she was still. It was like the divorce was playing out.
Gotcha. Yeah, because he hooked up with her right after the divorce. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. He broke up with her.
Yeah.
So get to lay under the radar for a while until last night.
Yep.
Marcus Jordan
did the most Florida thing you could do in Florida as a celebrity.
He was arrested, booked on suspicion of DUI, drug possession, and resisting arrest. But we have only begun to tell you the story. According to police, police officers came upon a blue Lamborghini.
By the way, the color alone is kind of douchey.
Is it like North Carolina blue?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. Blue Lamborghini stuck on railroad tracks at 1:14 in the morning.
That's usually a red flag.
An old number 7 was barreling down the tracks.
Police say that Jordan and a female companion were in the Lamborghini. Mm. According to police, the car was part of a attempted pullover from earlier in the night.
Oh.
So it sounds like he may have already had some issues.
Mm.
When the officer got to the window, they say they detected a odor of alcohol.
Yeah.
Right? The defendant, which would be Jordan, kept saying he made a wrong turn and needed help getting his car off the railroad tracks.
It must have bottomed out on the track.
It was stuck in gravel. So the officer said that he was slurring this and was confused as to where he was. He also had bloodshot and glassy eyes. So this is all on body cam, by the way.
And this is in the middle of 1 o'clock in the morning?
1:14 in the morning.
All right.
All right. So he's insisting, Jordan, to these police officers that they need to push the car out. The officers tell him that's not possible. And he said, one officer says, I'm concerned for people on the track. Jordan says, I'm concerned for my $300,000 car.
Yes.
Not great.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short,
yeah.
When they started searching him, he yelled, quote, I'm Marcus Jordan. I'm Michael Jordan's son. I'm not doing anything wrong. I made a wrong turn. Eventually, when they tried to apprehend him, things got bad. They say they found a plastic baggie with a white powdery substance on the inside in the white pocket of his pants. They put him through field sobriety test. He was not cooperative during the arrest. He tried to extend his legs in the back of the squad car to keep the officers from closing the door. Eventually, they got him to jail. He is in serious trouble.
Oh, my God. Kid. Well, dumb.
He's not a kid. He's 34.
I know. I know.
And, like, that's just
adult
it.
Adult man.
If this was a 17 to 22-year-old guy, still really bad, but you're the son of a billionaire who thinks the world is in your palm, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a douchebag, but it's an understandable story.
Yeah. Well, that's what I mean.
34?
Like,
you didn't know anything about him, really, until the last few years, right? Like, I haven't heard of him getting into any major trouble before this.
Nor had I with his $300,000 vehicle.
And I watched him on the Housewives show, and he seemed like kind of a boring dude.
That's what my wife said. This is a nice kid.
Like he didn't say much. Yeah. Like he didn't really want any of his personal life out there.
Yeah.
All right, so here's a question.
Yeah.
This is a bad story. Like a bad, bad story.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's video of it.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think, and I say would like to as like logically, a father is not going to cut his son out of a billion-dollar business because the Jordan sneaker brand's a billion-dollar business.
Mm-hmm.
But like how does he go to work tomorrow?
Quietly.
I mean, like what do you do? Because he's got another son. I mean, this was going to eventually be passed on to his sons, I would assume, to make the decision.
I mean, it's an empire, like you said.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to live for a very, very long time.
So what do you do?
Is he done?
It ain't up to him, obviously.
I think it is. I think Jordan makes the decisions when it comes to his brand.
The kid. It ain't up to the kid.
But like if you're a dad, I mean, on one hand, it's not like Jordan grew up rich. He's a working class guy from North Carolina.
And his whole business is just image.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't make sneakers. He just endorses. So it's all image. It's all optics, right?
Yeah, but I mean, on the other hand, if you want to talk about the optics of Jordan, I mean, he was a gambler, he was a drinker. I mean,
most of that was pre-social media.
Yeah,
and right.
And the media machine that's out there now.
Yeah, you're right.
So like, it went away quietly.
It.
Also, he was really good at his job.
Okay,
like so, you look past the champions sometimes for
good
a
point.
Couple. You're just a kid.
Good
you're
point.
Just a rich. You're just a dumb rich kid.
Good point.
So he's got to. Shut this kid down.
Oh, man.
Jordan just bought a brand new boat.
For a while.
A 90-footer. I know.
Wow.
A 90-footer.
I follow it on Instagram.
You follow Jordan's boat.
I follow two different boat Instagrams out of Jupiter, Florida. I'm from the area.
If you're going to follow a boat, let it be Michael Jordan's boat.
Yeah. You follow Catch-23.
That's what it's called?
Yep.
I hate everything about this
world. It's Jordan, man.
Like, I mean, there's rich.
Yeah.
And I understand when you say $1 billion. I mean, that's hard money to be able to wrap your head around. But the fact that he has so much money, his 34-year-old son has a $300,000 Lamborghini after he just bought a 90-foot yacht.
Yeah. That's nothing.
He just got rid of the other yacht.
Shut up. But that yacht. The yachting.
Yeah.
The yacht.
He's a yachty.
All right, well, Marcus.
Good to be Jordan's kid.
Not good to be Jordan's kid right now.
He's going to be fine.
Yeah, we'll see.
Look, bro, you think his kid's paying any consequence? This is getting paid and going away.
Maybe. Well, no. I mean, like you said, 20, 30 years ago, he could get paid and go away. The video lives on forever, no matter the consequence.
But this kid ain't going to see a jail cell.
Okay, no, obviously. And I don't know if you'd see a jail cell even for this charge anyway. I guess the point I'm making is... It ain't about the punishment. Like, even if the kid had been arrested and did a week in jail without the video, that's less damning than him allegedly drunk next to a $300,000 car that he got stuck on a railroad track. And when they say, we got to move this thing for the safety of the people, he goes, no, you got to move it because it's $300,000.
But, I mean, he's not the only major sports celebrity that has kids gotten bad.
Understood.
Oh, yeah. Or celebrity, period.
And one's going to be in a Super Bowl, man, coaching a team.
Oh, Andy Reid, yeah.
Yeah. This kid did jail time.
I understand.
And life rolls on.
I understand, but none of those kids were set to take over an empire
True.
Like this.
Yeah.
True.
All right, let's take a break.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.